Welcome to another edition of Lying on the Beach. I'm Steve Greenberg with
Lois Whitman Hess.
And as many people know, but maybe not everyone knows, this is a very exciting time for art lovers in the U.S. because artists, collectors, photographers are all flocking to Miami for Art Basel. It's the most extensive art fair in the country, with over 200 of the world's leading international and modern contemporary art galleries displaying the works of over 4,000 artists. The whole city turns upside down, all for art. In addition to Art Basel, there are countless satellite exhibits all over Metro Miami, where you can find young artists to museum caliber masterpieces, everything from one end of town to the other end of town. And it's for that reason that we're really excited that one of the major art forces in Miami is with us today on Lying on the Beach, who is going to tell us more about Art Week. Catherine Mikesell is the co-founder of Fountainhead Residency, a artistic home away from home in Miami, where artists get the opportunity to create, connect with other artistic talent from around the world. Fountainhead has hosted far more than about 400 artists from more than 45 countries. After 12 years, Fountainhead is thrilled that almost 100 of its alumni are now exhibiting somewhere in Miami Art Week. And so it is with great honor I welcome Catherine to Lying on the Beach. Thank you for joining us, Catherine.
Well, thank you. I wish I was lying on the beach right now.
Well, that's much funnier.
A little calm before the storm, actually. Can I record
exactly
from there next time we do this?
Yeah, I love that idea. So I think for people at home, why is Art Basel so important? What would you tell people who don't know anything about it? Why is this such an important event?
Oh, I mean, I think it's important for a number of reasons. I mean, certainly from someone that is interested in art, whether you're just an appreciator, a collector, a patron, this is an opportunity to see leading artists from around the world and to meet the galleries, see the institutions, experience special projects, listen to engaging talks by these artists and by other arts professionals. And it's an entire week of just being immersed completely in the world of art. And the beautiful thing about it is that, you know, everyone can experience it. There are many things that are available that are free, that you don't have to pay to get into, that you can experience outdoors. You know, the fairs have a number of outdoor, each fair generally has some sort of outdoor projects that don't cost to get into. And then, of course, you know, for those of us lucky enough to have been in the art world for a minute, you know, we get to go and see the art when it's a little bit slower paced before everyone gets in and see our friends from around the world. This is I'm very lucky to live here in Miami because at least once a year, my friends come to me.
That's true. Catherine, I tell a lot of people about Art Basel that are intimidated to come here. They feel it's only for aficionados. How would you address that?
No, I mean, absolutely not. I mean, I think that's really what the art world in general is trying so hard to get away from. And that is, you know, artists especially, right? Is they are not, you know, they want to connect with everyone, right? They don't want the art world to have these walls and barriers around it and only be for, you know, the elite as it's currently perceived. I mean, really, you know, artists want to reach everyone. So I would say just don't put so much pressure on yourself. Just go and enjoy, see, invest in yourself and just look. And there aren't, you know, as you know, as we've been told since we growing up, you know, there are no stupid questions, you know, I mean, especially when it comes to art. I think people just put too much pressure on themselves that they're supposed to have an art history degree to be able to, you know, to be able to appreciate art and partake in events like this. It's just not true.
Are people really buying this art, or is this just for looking, socializing, networking? I mean, you walk around the main building, and it's really expensive stuff, you know, $5.2 million, $3.1 million. I mean, these are big-ticket items. Are they actually being sold?
Absolutely. I mean, artwork is being sold at all price points. But I also wouldn't, like, a lot of people think that everything in the Main Fair in Art Basel is exorbitantly expensive. Now, obviously, expensive is a relative term, but you can find works, under 10,000, and not really under five, but under 10,000, in some of the galleries. Like, don't assume that they're all six figure and above works. There are works available, and especially in the satellite fairs, for quite reasonable prices in the thousands. And now many of the fairs have print editions and things like that, where you can buy phenomenal prints for even under $1,000.
That's amazing.
So there really is something for everyone during this time.
Catherine, why are most of the art fairs set up by galleries, are the ones that exhibit galleries from around the world, rather than the artists themselves? Or is that not true?
No, I would say that is true during Miami Art Week. During some of the other fairs, there are more experimental projects like Spring Break and things like that, where curators are invited to come in and do experimental projects. But most of the fairs during Art Basel are by galleries or nonprofits that have spaces. And really, it'll be interesting to see how this continues to evolve. I mean, with social media and Instagram, and artists having more control over their own, quote unquote, brand and the their work, there's more opportunity for artists to sell themselves that they really never had in the past. That said, not all artists are comfortable with selling and marketing their own work. I mean, many artists really just want to make their work, and they rely on their galleries, and advisors to help them from a sales perspective. So, the galleries play and continue to play an important role in an artist's career. And I think, and also they frankly have, they have the means in which to participate in these fairs. Fairs are very expensive for galleries to participate in. I mean, the booth costs alone, I think, I've not rented a booth, so I don't want to give numbers that are incorrect, but I think they begin at $15,000 to $20,000, and that's for the cost of the booth. That's before you fly any work in. That's before you provide artists, money in which to produce work. That's before you fly your team here, before you entertain clients, before you pay for a hotel and a rental car and food. And so this is a major, major investment for each of these galleries to be here.
Hmm. You brought up a very interesting question, Catherine. Are artists really more artists depending on social media to sell their work, or are they, what's happening in the world of galleries versus social media?
Well, I don't know that it's a versus. I think they are used complementary to one another. So, you'll see that artists are really promoting themselves. They're, like I said, I kind of hate using the word brand, but it kind of is a brand. Artists do become, they become known for not only their work, but who they are, their personalities, their dynamicism, how they look, how they present themselves, who they spend time with. I mean, it's really, social media is used to provide provide insights into an artist's life, right? And that's something that really we weren't able to see that before social media. You really just kind of saw their work in galleries and museums, and you maybe heard them speak at a talk, and you maybe said hi to them at a gallery opening, but it was very difficult to really understand the artist behind the artwork. So I think social media gives us that insight into the person making the work.
Catherine?
Yes.
Did you think that when you go to Art Basel or the satellite art things like Art Miami and Wynwood or whatnot. When you travel around, is it safe to buy art here anywhere you go? Is it like this is a safe space, or can you still get ripped off? I think people feel so insecure about purchasing art. Is this a safe space, or nothing is 100% safe? I mean, what would you tell people about that?
I would say that the art world is a market like anything else, right? It's supply and demand. I mean, the prices, you know, the work is priced at a point where the galleries think that they can sell it at that price. So, I mean, I don't know if there's ever a safe space, but certainly galleries are not going to jack up the prices because they're here during Art Basel. They, like I said, they've heavily invested in coming here. They want to go home with nothing. So they're not here to gouge people. And you'll find, I mean, depending on, you know, what the artist is up to in their career and kind of the buzz around them now, you know, you'll find some artists where even if you're a museum, you don't get a discount. And then you'll find some that are more emerging and where they're trying to really get the work out there, and they might entertain giving some discounts. But a lot of that is dependent on, you know, if you're an institution, if you're a collector in which you have people to your home, and therefore the work will get seen. So, you know, the pricing and any discounts is really dependent on what the potential opportunity for that work to be seen by other people. That's really what's dependent, you know, on discounts and things like that. But no, it's not a time where you're getting ripped off. Absolutely not.
Steve, does that answer your question? Or are you talking about fraud?
I was talking about a little bit of everything because you just don't, you know, you feel like you don't know. You're kind of walking into this thing with less information than you probably should have. These are some big ticket items. And how safe are these pieces of art? If these people are all been vetted somehow, or just like you pay $1,500, $15,000, you've got a spot and you can just do whatever you can do. I was just wondering about it from a consumer's point of view.
Yeah, I apologize for speaking over you, Steve, but really, these galleries have been vetted. You cannot be, a gallery that just decided to open your doors yesterday and have a booth at one of these fairs. I mean, these fairs, you know, they get probably 3 to 4 times the number of applications than they can accept. So it's a very competitive field. For galleries to get into these fairs. So these galleries are all vetted. If you're in any one of the main fairs, whether it's Basel, Untitled, NADA, you know, Design Miami, you know, you name it, those galleries have been vetted. So you don't have to worry about that. And when it comes to you know, fraudulent work, I mean, you know, that should not be a concern. I mean, it really shouldn't. You're dealing with very reputable galleries.
Catherine, tell our audience about the other things that are happening this week. Are there a lot of parties, other events during art? How is this platform used by other luxury brands?
Oh my goodness. Well, the luxury brands over the last couple of years have really come to play, and they, you know, there are very lavish parties out there for many of the major brands. So you could, you know, if your thing was more fashion and design, you could absolutely partake in some seriously fantastic, you know, parties while you're here. I am not the person to speak to about that, although I have a few invites. I really do focus on the art. So
what do you do? What do you actually do during Basel and the art fair? What do you, as your role as a co-founder of the Fountainhead Residency?
Oh my goodness, I'm running all around the city. I mean, I really try to see as many of the artists' work that are being shown here, excuse me, during this time. It's impossible to do, but I try to see as much as I can and to meet the artists that are here. You know, we have We actually have a very casual party called Pizza, Beer, and a Campfire, which it's just that, to really bring the artists together, because during this week, everyone is just racing around. And by Saturday, it's hard to see anything and it's hard to speak, and you and you just want to chill. But really, my time spent, you know, seeing artists, seeing the collectors that I've built friendships with, the gallery owners that I've built relationships with, trying to take in, a talk or two that I find, that I find engaging that's not happening at other times throughout the year. I try to see the temporary outdoor exhibitions that are up during Art Basel, and I'm trying to plan it in a way that is as stress-free as possible, which means trying to only cross that bridge once a day. And because if you try to go back and forth over the bridge, you will do nothing but waste time and get extraordinarily frustrated. And then I'm also, I've been honored to go and spend some time at NSU Museum with artists that we were supportive of very early on, friends with you, that are here from LA, and they're doing a talk with Pharrell for the show Happy that's up at NSU Museum. So they're interesting events like that. They're actually presenting to 200 students from Broward County Schools. So there's also, things like that are art related, but also community based, that I try to take part in, in one of those. And then, also this year, actually, I'm very proud to be a Night Arts Champion. So I get to give away a $10,000 grant at the Perez Art Museum on Monday night. So there's, a large number of events and things to do.
So, Catherine, how does it feel to be the champion of, over 100, alumni that have been through the residency? And please explain for our audience what the residency is, and how does it feel that these artists, found a home with you to stay, for a while, do their work, meet other people, and move on from there?
Well, yeah. So the residency, like Steve said in the beginning, we've been going since 2008, and it started as a passion project for my husband and I, because we'd been collecting art at that point for about 10 years, and through that time we just realized that, getting to know the artists and having the artists in our lives made the work that much more powerful, and you realize the depth of an artist's practice and what they invest into their work, not only from their time, but their entire being, their history, how they were raised, how they see the work, where they come from, what they believe in, and they put that all together into a work of art, and then put it out there to the world for everyone and anyone in which to comment. So we realized we were just so passionate about the artists, and we couldn't buy everything that we were that we loved, that was we're not in that position. So we really wanted to think of a way to give back to artists that was more more impactful and long lasting, and that was really the start of the residency. And it was also at a time where we wanted to do more to support our local community. It was before the PAM was the PAM, this incredible building, overlooking Biscayne Bay. It was when it was still MAM and in the center of downtown, and the ICA didn't exist. And, MoCA was thriving, but still a small institution. And the Bass Museum was, like two-thirds of its size. And so we also started, when we started the residency, is by hosting, we also hosted artists for the museums. So that the art, one, it took the expense off the museums, but more importantly, it gave the artists people to come home to, in which, if they were struggling with something or were happy with something, they had someone to talk to. And they could also stay longer, so that gave them the opportunity to do talks and interact with the community more, as opposed to just flying in, hanging a show, being there for opening night and leaving. So it was a way to give back to artists and our community all at the same time. And so we've evolved significantly over the years. We host on average 3 artists a month, sometimes 4 if we have a couple or a collaborative team. And each month the artists are here for 1 month. And during that time, they work. It may be a body of work that they've been working on. It may be they want to experiment with something that they haven't tried. It may be that they're looking for inspiration, so that they're going out into the community and talking with people, or walking in the Everglades, or going to the history museum, to research, And then also during that time, obviously they're in with 2 other artists, which is a unique experience, because they're often they're almost never from the same city, and often not from the same country. So that's a real opportunity to engage with people on a very deep level, right? You're waking up in your PJs with people that you've never met, and by the end, 99% of the time they're very close friends, which is just a beautiful thing to see. And then another key part is introducing them to people in the various art fields, whether it be curators or museum directors, gallery owners, collectors, to help them make those connections that may immediately lead to opportunities, or maybe lead to something years down the road. So it's just helping to build their network of people as they're building their careers. So that's really what the residency does. And as far as what does it feel like, it is, next to marrying my husband and having 2 incredible children, it is the most rewarding thing on earth to be able to play even a tiny, tiny part in lifting up artists, because they're just some of the bravest, most talented, most inspiring people on this earth. I mean, artists change the way we view the world. They open up conversations that, otherwise wouldn't take place between people, I think. I'm definitely an artist groupie. I just believe so much in the valuable role that they play in our world, especially today. I mean, it's an absolute privilege, and like I said, the role that we play is tiny. I mean, it's just we're one step, but it feels really good to be able to be one of those steps.
So, Kathy, this is a great place. You did a great job. It's a great place to end. Tell everyone how they check out Fountainhead Residency, the URL, and what they should look for on the website.
Absolutely. And then can I talk about 2 free things that everybody would love? So let me just tell you, there are many, many, many things out there, but there's 2 I want to highlight. And one is, it's Art Basel Cities, Buenos Aires, and it is the culmination of a 3-year program, and there is a project called Disruptions, and it's in Collins Park, which is the park in front of the Bass Museum. And there are all artists either living or from Buenos Aires that are doing projects. One of which is at the Fountainhead Residency with us now, who's Marcella Sinclair. And she's doing this amazing take on the Ugo Rondinone sculpture, which, for those of you that live in Miami or have been to Miami, it's the Deglo-colored rocks called the Miami Mountain, which is in Collins Park. And Marcella has crumbled or exploded those rocks, not literally, but figuratively. And they'll be strewn across the lawn for everyone to come and make their own Ugo Rondinone sculptures. So everyone can have their own sculpture as part of Miami Art Week for free.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah,
fabulous.
And then Faina does a project every year called the Faina Festival, and this year it's called The Last Supper. Oh, and I forgot about one more. Augustina Woodgate, who's actually an alumni of a program that we had earlier called the Fountainhead House, made these incredible water fountains made from oolite that you can climb and drink water from the aquifer that is then, the waste is then put back into the aquifer. And it's a very layered work, but it's just on the outside, it's, you know, they're beautiful, beautiful sculptures. And
where is this?
Drink of water. That too is on the in Collins Park on the lawn of the Bass. That's part of Disruption.
Okay. And you said another one you have?
And the Faena.
And the other one is Faena. And they have a festival called The Last Supper that is going on throughout the fair. I believe it actually opens on Monday. And all of their programming is free as well. And Gabrielle Chale, who's also with us at the residency right now, made these beautiful sculptures that are just past the lobby outside prior to getting to the Woolly Mammoth. And they're going to be cooking on an oven that he made. So there's and throughout the time they'll be doing other suppers and talks and things like that around the festival. And again, all of that is free. So I wanted to bring up at least
why is it called The Last Supper? That confuses me, crazy. You know,
I don't want to say it incorrectly, and I haven't read the curatorial statement. So
yeah.
Everyone
could look it up.
Zoe will kill me if I butcher that.
Okay.
But then you also, you have fringe projects, which are art projects throughout downtown. We have another alumni that, Paul Anthony Smith, that has three locations there. So you can look up fringe projects. And then you have all the projects at the Miami Beach Convention Center.
Right.
You know, this is the big launch of the Miami Beach Convention Center. And,
it's overwhelming.
Plus a million cocktail parties and mixers and whatnot all over town. So it's a week-long party with the theme of art behind it. So there's no shortage of things to do.
Open. We have two new spaces up in El Espacio 23 by George Perez, which has an incredible show. Also has several alumni in there. And then the Rebels are opening their new museum, 100,000 square foot museum. And that's opening to the public this week, too. So there's just so much happening.
Tell everybody how they could reach you, your URL.
Oh, that's right. Thank you. Sorry. So you can reach us. It's the Fountainhead Residency, and we also have a studios program. You can learn more about that for local Miami-based artists. But it's fountainheadresidency.com. And then you can follow us on Instagram at Fountainhead Residency and at Fountainhead Studios.
Great.
Excellent. So, Catherine,
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Lois is keeping notes on all this. She'll put it on her running shoes and start to hit all these events.
Yeah.
She'll report back to all of us.
Yeah.
And
if I can give anyone a tip, I said one thing, try to only do one side, you know, cross that bridge once. The other thing, it is nice to look fabulous, but thankfully for women these days, we can look fabulous in sneakers. Wear them because you're walking on concrete floors and your back will be killing you by the end of the
you
day.
You got to be comfortable, definitely.
But be comfortable.
Absolutely. great advice. So, Catherine, myself, thank you very much. Great information.
Yeah.
And this is a wrap, right, Lois?
This is a wrap.
Okay.
Honor
so, once again, I'm Steve Greenberg with
Lois Whitman Hess.
And we have been Lying on the Beach. So long, everybody.
Thank you.